Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. I'm your host for tonight. I'm Henrietta, and Gio is in Atlanta. And Gio, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Okay. So Gio and I are hosting the show tonight. The guys, I'm not going to say they have an evening off because, of course, they are always around to help us out. So Jerry's in New York, and, of course, he's ready with the Kwanzaa principle as usual. And we have a wonderful guest tonight that everybody's been, you know, you've heard murmurings about this in Chicago all week, but our guest is Sean Wallace. And on Facebook, it's singer-songwriter, musician, some kind of guru. So Sean, they have you listed as everything. So, you know, we put the heat on you today. Well, welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming. But as always, in the International Black Summit, which is a conversation that you'll find out more about as the show goes on, we begin everything with the declaration of the International Black Summit. So if everyone would just take a moment and just listen and see where you find yourself in the declaration of the International Black Summit. And it goes as follows. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murder of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our communities, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991, Chicago, Illinois, February 13, 2011, Brooklyn, New York, Atlanta, Georgia, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. And so it is. And so that's how we start everything, with the declaration, and that's what we are about at the International Black Summit conversation. The International Black Summit is a conversation that is given by life to the world through people of Black African descent. And in that conversation, there's an event that occurs every first weekend in August, and that event is in Chicago this year. I might just push that in right there. It's a gathering of people from all different countries, backgrounds, lifestyles, opinions, and views. And we come together to empower the vision that we have for the Black community and ourselves. And so we invite everyone to go to blacksummit.org and take a look at the declaration, take a look at what the summit is and what is provided through the summit. It's a place where we come to clear ourselves so that we are able to hear what life is telling us. And so we invite you to join us this year, August 4th through the 7th, here in Chicago, Illinois, at the annual event of the International Summit. We have summit shares throughout the year, and those are gatherings where you can come and hear more about the summit, and you get to share with people who have actually attended the summit, and you kind of really, really get what the conversation is about. And in Chicago, the next summit share is February 21st at 1 o'clock, 1 to 3, and it takes place at TNT Foods at 3824 South Morgan, TNT Foods. And Jill, you have the information for the summit share in Atlanta?
Yes, there's going to be a summit share here in Atlanta, and that is going to be on Saturday, February 19th. And the contact person is Tamara Young, and the number is 404-693-3202. There's also a summit share in New York City, which is March 19th. And there is a prerequisite course March 19th on a Saturday, and another prerequisite course April 30th on a Saturday. And I'll obtain that contact information.
Okay, great. Great. So we invite you to join in. And really the easiest way is to go to blacksummit.org and you find out everything that you need to find out. That's also a way you can listen to the show if you don't want to call in. You can just go to blacksummit.org and click on talk show and listen, and it'll always play the most recent show or whatever's going on live. Our call-in number tonight is 646-716-9827, 646-716-9827. And there's an oxygen room that we go to after this show, because sometimes this show gets pretty interesting, and we need to continue it. So we go to the oxygen room, which is a conference call line, and we continue the conversation from that point. I just like to remind everybody to keep your phones on mute until you get ready to speak, because we are live and we will hear what's going on in your house if you don't. So just remember that. Jill, can you give us a Kwanzaa principle tonight for everyone? Okay, I think he's on mute. I think he muted himself. But our Kwanzaa principle, we celebrate Kwanzaa all year round.
Are you hearing me?
Okay, now we can hear you.
Okay. The Kwanzaa principle for this show tonight is Nia, in parentheses, means purpose. And it means to make our collective vocation the and development of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. And so we had a little briefing with Sean earlier, and so his conversation is near, okay? It's going to help us restore our families, our communities, our whatever it is that we are involved in. One other thing before we get started with our guest is this is Black African American History Month, and, you know, in the summer we celebrate it every day, all year round. But because, you know, February is designated, we have decided to honor Clara Lyons Devine, who was our team leader here on the talk show team up until December of last year. And so we want to acknowledge the work that Clara has done, which has been phenomenal. You know, she's taken this talk show just to some wonderful heights, and we want to acknowledge her throughout the month of February. So if you have something to share about Claire, just let us know. You know, you can push the number one button on your phone, and it'll raise your hand, and you will know that you have an acknowledgement at the time. But if that's all the good stuff, are we ready for our guest? I guess so. Okay. So, Mr. Sean Wallace, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get to the juicy part.
Well, I live in Chicago. I work as a musician and a record producer and an educator.
Sean?
Yes. Hello?
Okay, I guess.
No, we hear him.
You hear him? I don't
yeah.
know.
I'm here.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll start again.
Okay.
I live in Chicago, Illinois. I work as a musician and a record producer and an educator primarily. I'm a parent. And I guess over the years I've become more and more concerned about relationships in our community from just life, having lived, you know, through them, with them. And I started paying a lot more attention to relationships in the last several years. And I guess would always strive to be completely honest with you, just get better at it, you know, personally. Like, okay, how do I do this better? How do I do this better? And so I'm always in conversation with the women that I know, partially because of what I do. I do tend to work around women a lot. And I listen to what women say. And we have a lot of discussions and discourse about relationships all the time. And so people that have known me for a long time know that I've always tended to be that way, to just really like to listen, especially to women. And I wanted to start looking at this from another perspective. Maybe a perspective that could help, instead of always being the same thing over and over again that we usually end up talking about with respect to relationships and the Black community.
Mm. And so what are some of the specific things that you kind of looked into?
Well, I mean, we've all heard a lot of the statistics about the current state of Black relationships, African American relationships, and what we tend to be doing a lot right now is blaming, and there is enough blame to go around for the next couple of generations, I think. And so, no, this is not about a man blaming women or a man hearing women blame men necessarily. I guess what I shifted and my focus on it was the difference between blame and responsibility. Like, what are those things? We like to blame a lot. And when we blame, of course, then we make the other person more powerful than we are. You know, it's their fault. That's one of the things that I'd say. Well, let me look at this differently. What is that difference? Are we always really ready for a so-called relationship? Have we defined what it is? I mean, so many of us, and again, a lot of these things are taken from my own self-study. We tend to walk around with these ideas, and in many instances, we don't know exactly where they came from, how they got there, and we are believing that a relationship will be a certain way. And then when it's not that way, we have a reaction, and a lot of one of those reactions is usually blame. And then we just kind of repeat the cycle over and over and over and over and over. And I don't know, I haven't found out yet, and again, this is why I guess it's about a discussion and a conversation. I haven't found out where that came from. It might be something that has always existed. It might be something that is within the last couple of generations or so in our community. So I'm broadening my conversations to include elders. I want to know I want to definitely get an elder perspective. I do have a teenage daughter, so I tend to listen to her a lot. Like what are teenagers going through? What are they thinking about with respect to relationships? How are they? And that's a direct reflection on, me and her parents' generation in terms of the behavior that we're modeling to them, in terms of how they're behaving.
So I guess what I'm thinking about is some of the conversations that we've had. You know, I can remember one time you said, the thing that just, of course, caught me was you said you don't believe that women mature faster than men.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's something that, you hear. I was told that. At a very young age, I was told that. And I believed it. And I've heard it all of my life. I've heard it. So tell me or share with the audience, what your theory is on that.
Well, I started to observe that. And, again, I've worked as an arts educator for several years. And, that's an idea that, you hear it in education. Girls mature faster than boys. But what always fascinated me was, if girls matured faster than boys, then why do girls and women feel that they are, or they can be, so easily deceived by boys in relationships? If a person is more mature, that would not necessarily be the case. So started looking, now what are we really saying when we say mature? What does that mean? I think we have a tendency as human beings to use words that have a lot of different meanings, and we might not be completely clear on what those meanings are all the time. Now, do I believe that girls develop emotional intelligence earlier? I would say yes. Emotional intelligence may be something that we're thinking about what maturity is. In other words, girls may develop an awareness of their emotional selves at an earlier stage than boys do. Does that make girls better than boys? Not necessarily. Would I say that boys then also develop a certain level of strategic thinking earlier than girls do? Yes. A lot of that, I believe, is based upon the differences between how we socialize boys and socialize girls. And boys at an earlier age are encouraged to play certain games, strategy games, sports. So they're thinking about, how do I accomplish a goal? And so they're rewarded for being good at accomplishing goals. Girls are probably encouraged to think emotionally, to be considerate to others, and to be able to express their emotions. I think in that particular conversation that we had, I was sharing some of the differences that we can probably all be familiar with, about how we socialize boys and girls, and we don't really socialize boys to be emotionally expressive,
mm-hmm.
maybe outside of a certain realm. Boys can express anger, say in sports, but when we express vulnerability, then we, in our families, in our communities, I think we tend to have a problem with boys expressing vulnerability or hurt. And I think probably the direct opposite could be said to be true for girls, is that we don't necessarily want girls to be aggressive in certain ways that we allow boys to be. Now, how all of these things may play out later on, and again, you know, I still am a man and have, I would say, male biases, is that for years you've wanted me to be the strong, silent type, then all of a sudden I get into a relationship and you want me to be sensitive. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. so I have no preparation to be that way.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I have to be that way, and it's like, it just seems like, I don't know, again, I would like to see what some of our callers say. Men may feel like that's unfair. Like, all of a sudden you want me to be something that you've not told me how to be, or actually you've told me that to be that way is something negative.
Mm.
And I'm called a punk if I'm sensitive. I can't be sensitive. I can't show that side of me. I can only show a certain type of emotion. I'll have a certain type of emotional response. Usually that's strength, and usually that strength comes out in being, we believe that it may be reflected in a certain amount of rigidity versus being flexible. It's concepts like that I started to really look at, like, where do these things come from, and are they working? I guess that's the main thing that I wanted to really, really focus on, was whatever we're doing seems to not be working. So that means we have to do something different. Because if we're doing the same thing expecting different results, according to that old African proverb, then we're insane.
Mm-hmm.
Which we might be.
Yeah,
but
we might have
to do something different. We can't, if, you know, again, we've heard all the statistics about black marriage rates and how unmarried we are, how whatever it is we are. So then what are we doing? What are we thinking? How are we being to then get this phenomena that we're experiencing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be something that we can do about it.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because, like, in the summer conversation, we have this distinction, no out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
like there's no out there. It's everything is with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like standing there, coming from that aspect, I'll say, what do you think, you know, like speaking for yourself and your experience, what are some of the things that you will do differently now that you've observed these different things when it comes to relationships?
The biggest thing I had to do was stop blaming.
Okay.
It's just really not necessarily that other person's fault for whatever it is. A friend of mine that I talk to about this all the time always reminds me that, you know, whenever we point fingers, there's three pointing back at us.
Okay.
And so that gets into the, you know, there's a difference between blame and responsibility. To assign blame is to usually give our power away. We make the outside of us, the other person, more powerful. They've caused this to happen. Woe is me, I'm a victim of whatever. Accepting responsibility, and I like to say the word differently, responsibility,
mm-hmm.
The ability to respond, the ability to look again, implies being conscious about your decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We can have unconscious reactions based upon what is in our subconscious mind and our, you know, spirit, if you will. And we can then, but then also have conscious responsibility and then very consciously choose. So I started doing that in my own dealings with people. You know, and I mean not just role, you know, relationships, but just dealings with people in general. And saw an absolute immediate improvement in the nature of the relationships that I had. Because I paid a lot more attention to my thoughts and feelings on whatever it was that was happening. I saw things not repeating as much, you know, situations and feelings and things, you know, there stopped being so many of the same pattern. And I was able to get more out of any situation than I had previously done before.
Not blaming
and accepting my responsibility for my thoughts and feelings.
Okay.
So it's like, I'm not going to blame, oh, why does she do this? Why does she decide that? No. Let release a lot of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess what that brought me to is the understanding that many of us believe that a relationship is an event. It's something that happens. It occurs in space and time. And almost like it's a point in space and time. You enter into a relationship or you enter into a marriage. And I think we forget the fact that a relationship really is a process. It's always happening. It's a very dynamic process because the people involved make choices.
Mm-hmm.
They make choices and decisions, and so it is then subject to change. So anything that changes, of course, is a dynamic process. And I found myself looking at it differently in that you don't necessarily make a commitment to a person in a relationship. You make a commitment to the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And when I put my mind on that, it really started to bake my noodle a little bit. Like, oh, wait a minute, that makes a little more sense. That person is going to change. They're going to. I think I always used to struggle with marriage vows. Like, what is this really about? You know, what is it, you know, for better, for worse, richer, for poor? And so I had to meditate on those for a while, and I kind of came to this conclusion. Because there's certain things that you can't control, that will come from the world outside of your relationship. But your commitment is to the process of being in that relationship. So in a way that Rudyard Kipling said, treat those two imposters just the same, you know, success and failure, rich, poor, sickness, health, and see through that. And understand that, you know, change is inevitable, but I've made a commitment to be open to learning from the change, dealing with it, or making conscious decisions in that flow of change.
Mm. Well, let's take a moment and see if someone has a question for you or a comment. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you're on with Jill, Jerry, and Henrietta tonight. Glenn and Takesha and Clara are somewhere out there. And our special guest tonight is Sean Wallace, who is sharing a study that he's been engaged in for a while about a better way to relationship. And he's sharing some of his observations and actually some of his practices. And we'd like to hear anybody else has to say about this. And one of the things he brought up is whether women actually mature. You know, that question about, you know, females maturing faster than males. But he questions it because of the little controversy that there is, you know, and I'll let him say it to make sure, you know, so it's said right. But he questions that for a specific reason. So if you have a question or a comment, if you would push the number one button on your phone, it will raise your hand, and we will know that, you know, and we'll open your mic. So, Jill, is there anybody who has a comment?
Yes, we have someone. The number is 267. Let's see, 267-226. You're on the air. 267-266. You're on the air.
And if you have your phone on mute, you might have your phone on mute.
Hello?
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 Is this 267-226?
No, this is, what do you want, the area code 773-752.
Okay. Okay, go ahead if you're on the air.
Am I on? Okay.
Yes, you are.
I don't know why the other number came up. Well, I'm just so fascinated. I wish I had been taking notes because I didn't want to forget anything. I did want to make a couple of comments, and I was like, when I heard Sean mention them, I'm like, yes, 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 that is so true, so true. And the first one was about the girls maturing faster than boys. And I've heard that, you know, all my life. I am the parent of daughters. And I think I used to believe that, but I think it is absolutely not true. I do think that men mature faster than girls in certain areas, and I think girls mature faster than men in other areas. I think what I found so interesting about your comment, Sean, was the how men are boys are kind of groomed to be tough and you know, they're punks if they're sensitive and all of that. And I think it's the same with females. And with black females, I think we get a double whammy because we're taught to be sensitive, you know, support your man, do what's required to keep your man strong and all of that. But at the same time, don't depend on no man, you know, be able to take care of yourself. So I think what happens, particularly in my generation, and maybe I would say people between 50 and 60, they're caught up in not being able to function in a relationship because just like when a man comes and they're said, okay, now be sensitive, a woman has to come and it's now, okay, support your man, but don't be strong. But you better be strong anyway just in case he leaves you. Be prepared in case he leaves you. So I think so many, there's so many confusing signals that we get, particularly as African-American females. And the question is, where does it come from? You know, when you brought that up, I'm like, where the heck did this come from? You know, and the other comment I wanted to make, and then I'll stop so that someone else can talk, is the commitment to the process of a relationship. And so many people have asked me over the years, how in the world do you stay married to somebody for 40 plus years? Or how have you stayed with the same person? Or, you know, are there any more at home like your husband? And, you know, you really don't want to ask anybody that question because you really don't want anybody that's like somebody else, because that somebody else is for that somebody else. But the thing is, you do have to be committed to the relationship. You're not really committed to another person, and you really should be only committed to yourself and what you're going to bring to that relationship. So I just think, I mean, whatever it is you've been meditating on. It's just so profound and really just right on target. And I think so important for particularly, I would say this, I never can get the Generation X thing. I don't know what age it is, but I would say kids who are like between 25, 40, you know, 30, 45, they've got it rough. But I do think that they're smarter than we were. Mm-hmm. On a lot of levels. But I will stop talking now because I could just keep going on to somebody else. But I just wanted to make those comments. Thanks.
Thank you. We have two other callers. Henrietta, would you like me to go ahead
Let me ask Sean. Sean, did you have any comment or any response to that?
I think it's important for us to listen to those people that have had a relationship that long. While at the same time, not necessarily, and this is, I'm speaking in general, we have to look at what we think a successful relationship is. I think many of us have lauded our grandparents' relationships because they were very, very long. But we sometimes stop. We don't stop to wonder whether they were happy in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that about that particular caller. So again, I'm speaking very, very much in general. But anybody that seems happy in a relationship that long, it's like, okay, so what did you do? You know, it's got to be something that is repeatable, because we're, you know, as different as we can be as individuals, in many respects, whatever one person is going through, another person probably has gone through as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can share, you know, we have everything we need in order to fix this. We have to, you know, if we're experiencing it, then we can fix it as a people.
Mm-hmm. Right. I remember one time asking that question, and I can remember really admiring one of my friends who's been married a long, you know, many, many years. And I was saying, God, you just don't know how blessed you are to not have to deal with the dating scene. You know, if it works, cool. If it doesn't work, you know, then you have to start all over again and you have to go through this. And my friend said to me, she said, when you are married, you are not married to the same person every year. Uh-huh. People change. And so just as you have to start again with a new person, you know, many people have to kind of reinvent their marriages from time to time because people change. And I never thought about it that way, you know, that, you know, you do change. It was like you said at the beginning, you know, people change. And if you're committed to the process, as you said, or to the relationship, as the caller said, then you adjust, I guess. You know, there's an adjustment piece here. But let's see what the other callers have to say. And I just like to remind you that this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and the call-in number is 646-716-927. And our guest tonight is Mr. Sean Wallace, who's sharing a better way to relationship. Jill?
Yes, we have area code 773-841. You're on the air.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm speaking as one of those Gen Xers who I think, encounter a lot of the flips or the twists that, you know, both men and women seem to kind of have to deal with, just, you know, from an identity standpoint in relationship with each other. I think that's huge as the generations continue. With, you know, the speed and pace of society and technology, I'm seeing also the tendency for, I mean, maybe what the previous caller's generation might have, the stick-to-itiveness, mm-hmm. That might have been apparent in prior generations. I think because we have such the ability to go and be quick and move to something different. As a Gen X man, I see how that dynamic really plays a role in even getting to the beginning or, you know, foundational portions of relationship. you know, whereas, you know, if something doesn't, you know, it, you know, hit, you know, the people aren't in the right, you know, congruent education, congruent work, congruent, or whatever the case may be, it's a jump. There's not even enough time to see what the soil, you know, has in it to see, you know, if it's viable. And I think that's a challenge, much less with the twists that come as well. You have to be strong but sensitive. I have to cover you and protect you as a man, but, you know, what, you know, is your responsibility? Or always the, you know, the pointing of fingers on male responsibility, but, you know, then what, you know, what's our responsibility in relationship to each other? Can we get on the same, can we get online with each other? And I think that that's a huge issue that in this day and time that, you know, we don't get online with each other because it's so easy to kind of not.
It's easier. Actually, wouldn't you say? It's just easier to keep it moving. Just end it, keep it moving, especially when you think it's the other person's fault.
Yeah, and I think, you know. Even if it's not an issue of blame like Mr. Wallace is talking about, I think, you know, even just trying to find out who is the other person and who am I in relationship and what can we bring, I think because that brings people to vulnerability points that aren't respected in our communities from both sides now.
I think
X and Y and definitely the next, you know, and the millennials, you know, everyone's hard. The millennials, everyone is hard. The millennials are our teens to early 20s. So, like, if the Y's end at, you know, I'm a beginning X at 42. You know, going to the Y's who were the 90s. I mean, who were born in the help me out with this, Mr. Wallace.
I think they were born in the 80s or mid 70s,
right?
Late 70s, early 80s. I think were the Y's, and
right.
Then the
millennials.
Millennials were born in the mid 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, but
you were saying that the millennials are really hardcore.
Women to men. I mean, in terms of. Go ahead. I mean, in terms of this.
I'm just thinking back off of what you're saying. That there's an uber masculinity, where everything is so hard and masculine and violent. You know, we're seeing this in our young people with this tendency toward very quick, extreme violence as just an accepted reaction to just about anything.
Exactly.
And failed to comment and really appreciate the first caller saying the mixed messages that African American women are receiving in terms of how to be. I so appreciate that being said and put out there because, like the present caller, as a 42-year-old black man, we're getting those mixed messages in terms of.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to. The man is supposed to be a certain way, and the woman is supposed to be a certain way, and it might absolutely flip or not. Or we're all having some identity crisis issues with and it is having a drastic effect on our ability to even get to the table on relationships, like the caller saying, can we even sit down and talk about it?
Right. And if I can just break in 1 second, because I don't want to maximize either. And I think a female friend of mine says, then consequently, we can't get to the table to know how to care for each other, and it's killing ourselves and community. Our inability to even get to the table in order to share and be able to put the layers of protection down so we can see how to care for each other, our inability to do that is killing our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. So, Sean, what do you say about that? You know, I don't know, Sean. It seems to me that what's really going on is this honesty. It's like folks aren't being upfront with each other. It's like, it's almost like we're supposed to be a particular way, so we be that way. You know, this is what we think is expected, so that's what we do. But it's almost like if I would just say, you know, I don't like that. Or, you know, what I really like is, I mean, wouldn't that help?
I think it would definitely help. I think that one of the things that we, there are a couple of things that I find that our community does, and I don't know if other communities do it to the extent that we do, is we universalize very quickly. Any image of us represents all of us. Any thought that we have about, say, if you're a woman thinking about men and experiences you had with men, represents all black men, or and vice versa. And, you know, men are the same way about women. Oh, these women out here. And we then tend to set up these statements and put them in our consciousness that all men are fill in the blank, all women are fill in the blank. And then we wonder why we can't get into a relationship with each other. And we also then tend to, and we're seeing because of some of the things that are happening in our families and relationships, is we're becoming more and more cut off from our relatively recent past. We're getting more and more cut off from the last 50 years or so of wisdom tradition that could be passed down from grandparents, or it's becoming more and more compressed because people are having children younger, or, I mean, there's all kinds of phenomena with it. And I think that is then affecting our ability to be really completely honest with ourselves. I think the other issue is
would you repeat that, the last thing you said?
Meaning is that our wisdom tradition is being either compressed or we're losing it. Meaning we're having generations of people who have children very young, maybe as teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wisdom that may be transmitted from grandparents to grandchildren or great-grandparents, whatever, is we're starting to lose some of that because of how much younger these generations, how much closer they are together. At least in some instances. But that is also then causing us to, I'm trying to put it as simply as I possibly can. One of the reasons why I think we're not able to be as honest with ourselves and with each other is we're not taught that. And I guess that's what I'm getting to. You have to see that behavior modeled, and you have to see it in your institutions. You have to see it in your family. You've got to see it in, you know, your religious organization. You've got to see it in school. And we're not seeing it modeled. I mean, we can talk about it, but we're not seeing it modeled. So in other words, we're not teaching subsequent generations how to be honest with yourself so that you then can be honest with this person you may be in a relationship with. So I think that may be one way in which some of these ideas that aren't working are getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know how to distinguish those things. We don't know how to, we don't have that filter. We don't have that filter. And there are some, I see some differences in the way some of my daughter's peers are relating to different things versus she is, their differences in the way I was raised versus people say that 10 years younger than me. I see some differences, and I'm starting to see, try to look at the statistics and see where it's going. But I think that is an absolutely seminal point. I don't think most people can be honest with themselves.
Yeah.
They're not, they haven't developed, and we're not, again, helping people develop that type of level of introspection. Again, working as an arts educator, I see a lot of a pressure on our young people to just regurgitate information. So that when you go and ask them a question or ask them really their opinion on something, many of them look at you like you're crazy, like it's a trick question, like because no one asked their opinion. You just ask to regurgitate, and I think because that's so prevalent, real critical thinking skills, real analysis and higher level thinking, we may be losing those skills. And when we really look at it, I think anybody that has been married as long as the first caller may, you know, she may corroborate, at some point you get those thinking skills if you're going to be in a relationship that long. That level of self-honesty, of introspection, again, being a being committed to yourself, you know, being able to say, okay, wait a minute, let me look at this in a different way. That's a skill set that we may be losing, and that's maybe what is contributing to what we're seeing.
That's real. I mean, that's really, really interesting in the summit conversation. We have a distinction or something that we say where we will say, look and see. You know, look and see if there's anything about what's going on. Like if someone's upset about something or whatever, then we'll say, look and see. And what we're actually saying is search your mind, search your heart. You know, look inside of yourself and see what you're really feeling about a particular thing. You know, the reactions that we have sometimes are based on things that are deep down inside of us, and we don't even know that they're there sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invite all of you again to the International Black Summit Conversation here in Chicago, August 4th through 7th. Go to blacksummit.org and get more information. You can actually register online as well. But, Sean, thank you so much for this. I want to see if we have some other callers that are, that may have questions or comments.
I want to say something.
Okay, that's Jerry.
Okay. Well, I found out, Brother Shaw, my personal experience, that I think the key is that the key to relationship work, that I think both people need to sit down and talk and deal with their own dislikes, we shall.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that sometimes that when you tell your friends and when you tell certain family members, and I'm talking about in our community, that are miserable, that is not willing to transform their life to make our community strong, that could cause problems too. And I think that until we understand ourselves and the one and the brother or sister that we talk to, that we want to commit on the process of committing, we're gonna have those problems.
Commit to a process. Go on.
No, I think that is a definite truth. We have tended to be in the fantasy of how we will relate to each other versus understanding how to relate to ourselves first. And if you don't believe that men have relationship fantasies, I could probably give you a list of movies that we that men watch. They're like, oh, there it is right there. I'm always I pointed out one to my pastor, even though it's got the all white characters, A Knight's Tale, is the man's fantasy. If you beat the enemy, you get the girl at the end of the movie, you ride off into the sunset. And we then are relating to each other in that way without even understanding what our internal motivation is. And understand where we are coming from. That's one of the things that I had kind of on my list of, you know, questions that a person should ask themselves is, who am I? You know, what are my values? What are my hopes and dreams? And what are my absolute needs, and not just the, you know, food, clothing, and shelter needs, but the less tangible needs, and if we can't answer that question, then how do we then come to the table in relationship and say, this is who I am, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I want, or whatever it is, we just go about the playbook, so to speak, and we recreate the same thing over and over again. And because if you know who you are and what you need, what you want, you can choose potential relationships better. You know, it's not to say that anyone who doesn't fit what you want, there's something wrong with them, because in ultimate reality, there is nothing wrong with them. But you can choose more consciously. Again, going back to this responsibility, you can choose a lot more consciously in terms of what you want and what you need, the more you know what that is.
Because I know for me, it's I got older as a black man in this country. There's a misreport. Like, I know for me personally, they say, oh, you know, why are you so secretive? Or why are you this and that? Well, I just got to know you. You know, sit down and talk to me and ask me what you want to know. And that's how I was raised, you know. Sit down and talk to me, and I tell you about myself. Now, if it's going to lead to the relationship or it's going to be a friend, talk to me. And I learned by doing that, I feel good about myself, because I'm letting you know how I feel about myself. And tell the truth, I don't even have a lot of friends, because there's a lot of brothers or sisters out here that are faking. You know, you say one thing, but you do another. And sometimes in my lifetime, I had to let a lot of them go, because I thought they was like really my friend, but come to find out they wasn't. And that was like part of my maturity, that, you know, is part of growth. And I can say right now, in my hand, I got three friends. Three or four friends that I know close to over 30 years. We don't hang out with each other. They all of them have families. But when the time we talk, we talk. And I know these families. We good. They do a lot of things for the community, you know. They down for the cause and stuff. And I don't know. There's one with NWCP. There's another organization. But that's how it is. If I hear from them like twice a month, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because we had to understand it. I don't get it, you know. I don't get an 8 minutes. They don't get it.
Excuse me for cutting you off, but we only have about a minute left to the show, and so we need to move to the oxygen room.
Okay. Bye bye. I'm a host.
Don't go. Give us the oxygen room number so everybody can join. You know, we just move the conversation over to the oxygen room.
Okay. The oxygen room number is 218-862-6420. The access number is 797-4834-pound. I will say it again. Oxygen room number is, the area code is 218-862-6420. The access number is 797-4834-pound.
Thank you, Jerry.
Right.
And I think everybody who called in tonight, we are truly grateful to you, Sean, and please come back. Again, we are moving over to the oxygen room, but I just need to end this segment. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're on tonight with Mr. Sean Wallace, and he's sharing with us a better way to relationship. Thank you for all of our listeners. This is Black History Month. Mia is our
Kwanzaa principle that we worked with tonight. We also acknowledge Ms. Clara Lyons Devon and all of her work with National Black Summit, and we invite everyone to go to blacksummit.org and take a look at the declaration as well as get information about the summit annual event that's in Chicago. Jill, thank you for handling the switchboard. Jerry, thank you for joining to all our callers who shared, and most of all, to you, Mr. Sean Wallace. We appreciate and hope that you will come back soon. Happy Valentine's Day for all of you who will not be joining us in the Oxygen Room, but come to the Oxygen Room because something tells me this conversation is going to get a little, as we say, it's going to take a deeper cut when we get to the Oxygen Room. Good night and God bless. Happy Valentine's Day. And shout out to Namaste. Spiritual Learning Center. God bless.